What Really Happened radio show. Putting America first, second, and third. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. It is Friday, May 10th, 2013. Thank goodness it's Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. Pow, Hana Friday, ready for the weekend. Boy, what a week it is. Well, the last 2 weeks it's been. It's just been kind of crazy here. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. The phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Sam is sitting in our control room, twiddling the dials, ready to answer the phone when you call on in. A couple of program notes. Of course, this being Friday, Claire will be joining us in hour number three with her unique perspective on what's been going on. We have already rescheduled Sheriff Richard Mack. We had him on yesterday. A lot of people wrote in very interested in this CSPOA convention that's coming up at the end of the month. And so on May 28th, just before the convention starts, we're going to have Richard Mack back on to talk more and more about constitutionality and taking a peaceful, nonviolent stand against the continued unconstitutional encroachments of the federal government, emphasis on nonviolent and peaceful. Now then, speaking of protests, if you will, Israel's minions are just piling on to Stephen Hawking. And I think they're actually doing themselves a lot more damage. If you go out and you look at Twitter, all of Israel's supporters are out there. They're making fun of his disability. They're making fun of his wheelchair, just all these snarky comments about this stuff. And I don't think they realize that from the point of view of the world's perception, Israel is seen as a big bully, bullying their neighbors, bullying the Palestinians, and now they're bullying a guy in a wheelchair. And it's a public relations disaster, but they just don't seem to see it. ADL is out there condemning Hawking for his support of the aberrant Israel boycott. And, you know, Abe Foxman is out there saying, oh, this was obviously politically motivated. Yeah, that's what Hawking said it was. It was a political decision. He didn't want to support the Israeli apartheid government. And that's really what this is all coming down to. Anybody attacking Stephen Hawking is defending Israel's apartheid policies. And they're just really, really upset because Hawking is a very globally known figure. He's a very famous individual, not only for his work in theoretical physics and cosmology, but because of the heroism of overcoming these incredible physical limitations to do what he has done. And for Israel to just be attacking him, including attacks on his disability, that's not going to play. They don't seem to understand it. These so-called experts in media that control all the media and Hollywood don't really seem to have a grasp on how this looks to the rest of the world here. A lot of other media pundits are observing on it. Glenn Greenwald is out there calling it a knee-jerk reaction to Hawking. As in, not very well thought out, and he's certainly accurate about that. Now, we were talking yesterday about this poll over at The Guardian, whether Stephen Hawking was right to boycott Israel over the Palestinians. And I mentioned at that time that Israel's megaphonies were out there trying to basically hijack the vote and shift it over to no. They failed, by the way, huge margin, saying, yes, Hawking was right to boycott Israel, and we're getting more and more confirmation. Israel was rallying their supporters with emails saying, you got to go over here and vote no, you got to do that no. They were just trying to rig this thing, and they still couldn't put it over the top. So they're losing at their own game. They're doing what they've always done to hijack public opinion, and it's an epic, epic fail. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand name coffee, either ground or instant. But now we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com. Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tonight, as I sit at the kitchen table and write my monthly check to Bank and Trust, I sigh to think I should have seen this coming. Now I'm struggling with another boom gone bust.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And the corporate media is sort of bouncing around between the Ohio kidnapping, the Boston bombing, and they're pretty much concretizing on those two, and they're going on and on about how the prosecutor may bring murder charges against one of the Ohio kidnappers, even though I'm not sure what the rationale for that is, but they're going for the death penalty, and they're all basically trying to act like, we're going to get justice, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And they're acting really tough and butch to basically cover up for the fact that this is an epic fail for the police. And this has got to be a huge embarrassment to the gun grabbers, whose whole agenda has been, you can turn over your guns, the government and the police will take care of you. And obviously, as we continue to dig into the reality of the police force in America, that simply doesn't happen. The real police on the streets that you are going to meet as you go about in your daily life are not the swell bunch of heroes Hollywood tells you they are. They just aren't. And all these propaganda shows, reality shows about the police doing this and solving and all the rest of it, the reality is that if you do not already have a criminal record and you go down and you hold up a convenience store in the next town over where nobody knows you, there is a less than 1 in 30 chance you will even be arrested, let alone sent to jail. That's the reality. And as we have pointed out time and time again, Warren versus District of Columbia, The police do not have a legal obligation to protect you from violent crime, but they want you to turn in your guns so you can't protect you from violent crime. And the proper way to be addressing this gun debate right now is we, the people of the United States of America, under the Second Amendment, have a legitimate right to keep and bear arms equal, if not superior, to those in the hands of the criminals. If the criminals have it, we should be allowed to have it too. That's it. That's all you talk about. Because of this nonsense that we can turn in our guns and the police will protect us, it's absurd. Ohio proves that. The statistics do. Every time there's a gun ban, crime will go up. And the cops won't do anything about it. Now, in our third hour, when Claire joins us, she wants to talk about Syria a lot, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it this first hour, but I do want to hit a couple of high points. Syria has now issued a statement that any further Israeli attacks on their sovereign territory will be responded to immediately. Apparently, Syria's government is getting a lot of pressure from their own people saying, look, you got to respond. Israel's just going to go on bombing until you respond. You might as well do it now and save some real estate and buildings. And, you know, we can't afford to lose any more chicken ranches to these Israeli strikes. And, of course, Israel's all upset because Russia is sending these S-300 air defense missiles to Syria, which will mean the next time Israel flies into Syria, they're probably going to lose more than just two jets. Russian President Putin is also issuing a very stark, clear, unambiguous warning to Israel against any more assaults on Syria, saying that Russia will respond if Israel attacks Syria. Russia's trying to calm this whole thing down. Putin's the only adult in the room right now. It's amazing here. Meanwhile, apparently there's a huge problem with members of the so-called Free Syria Army are now defecting from this organized, hired mercenary army because they're apparently not doing very well militarily, and they're all rushing off to join the Islamic fanatics, which is a nightmare for the United States because their goal was to get all these people to go into Syria, overthrow Assad, and then sort of go away and allow the U.S. to put in a U.S. puppet regime. And now it looks like even if the U.S. moves forward with this plan at a coup d'etat, they're going to wind up with a Syrian government that hates the U.S. even more than Assad does. Which is why now they're talking about, well, the U.S. has to go in with a direct invasion, kill everybody, and then put a new government in. It seems to be the new plan here. They just have to figure out how they can get away with it and not wind up in a war with Russia, which would be a bad day for everybody. Israel is already out there talking about having to attack Iran. Iran is back on the table. They're talking about attacking Iran in early 2014. Why are you attacking Iran? Well, just because it's there. We're under an existential threat. And, you know, the usual song and dance that we get. Israel is not under an existential threat. And by the way, Haaretz came out attacking Stephen Hawking on that argument. Hawking doesn't understand. We're under an existential threat. We could be wiped off the face of the earth in a split second if we ever stop being vigilant. And, of course, it's a load of nonsense. Israel is, depending upon who you ask, the world's fifth or sixth most powerful nuclear-armed state. Germany recently confirmed they have known for years that Israel is arming their Dolphin-class submarines with nuclear-tipped cruise missiles. When the apartheid government of South Africa fell, and there's a clue for the apartheid government of Israel, documents surfaced proved Israel was trying to sell clandestine nuclear weapons to other countries, which is the very activity the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty is supposed to stop. And obviously, if Israel has enough bombs to sell to other countries, they have a whole pile they're sitting on at home. Israel will not sign the Non-Proliferation Treaty, despite repeated requests from the United States and the United Nations. They will not allow IAEA inspections. And yet, we're supposed to think Iran is the bad guy for having a power station. Iran has not invaded another country in a war of aggression in over 200 years. Contrast that with Israel, that can't seem to go 6 months without attacking one of their neighbors. Meanwhile, right on top of the meeting between Secretary of State John Kerry and Tzipi Livni, Israel has just approved 300 new settlements to be built in the occupied West Bank. They're going on a building spree. Remember last week, and Netanyahu was saying, we're going to freeze the settlement building. And that's when they were trying to make nice with the U.S. because they were hoping the U.S. was going to go launch the war against Syria. And Israel would just simply gather on the border on the Golan with their binoculars and their popcorn and watch more of this war porn paid for by the U.S. taxpayer. Well, that didn't work out. So now they're launching 300 new settlements. Massive, massive building project. And announcing it right as Kerry meets with Tzipi Livni is a way for Israel to basically flip the bird at the United States government and express their disapproval. We've got a caller on the line, Stephen in California. Aloha, Stephen. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Michael. I was just wondering how the Russell Trust fits in with the idea that England still owns the United States through the City of London. I don't necessarily have to have you address this to me on the phone, but how does it work in with what they're trying to do?
Well, the Russell Trust is an American trust. It was set up by the Russell family, who made their fortune growing opium in the United States and selling it to Britain for Britain to resell in China, which led to a massive war over there. Britain literally fought a war with China over their right to sell heroin to the Chinese people, which ultimately led to the Boxer Rebellion and the collapse of the imperial government and the rise of communism there. As far as Britain owning the United States of America, I don't think they own the U.S. any more than any other nation that has substantial financial investments in this country. We know that London's financial district operates almost as a state within a state, the way the Vatican operates inside Italy. And it's almost completely isolated from the British government itself. And they certainly...
It has its own flag.
Yeah, it has its own flag, and they certainly pull a lot of the world's financial strings. But that's more a case of covert and corrupting influence rather than direct ownership. However, we don't know. Remember... back in the 1970s, following the ending of gold convertibility for the Federal Reserve note, Richard Nixon created this whole environmental movement to justify grabbing vast amounts of America's public lands, the lands that in theory belong to the American people collectively, and they walled them all off, supposedly heritage rivers, wilderness zones, roadless areas. And what it really was is the federal government pledged that land as collateral on further U.S. government borrowing. So whoever it is who loaned that money to the U.S. government on that pledged collateral, they're the ones who are basically in physical ownership of the United States, they think, when the U.S. government collapses. Now,
hence
my opinion...
Domain.
I'm sorry?
Hence eminent domain.
Eminent domain is a completely separate principle. That's where the federal government says they have a right to come and take any land that they want. And yes, they've used eminent domain as part of this land grab for the collateralization. Eminent domain has now been used for some very inappropriate purposes, where instead of taking land for public use like highways and stuff, they'll take land away from one user and give it to another citizen who thinks they can generate more tax revenues on it, and that's not what eminent domain was supposed to be. But getting back to this issue about approximately one-third of the continental United States has been pledged as collateral on federal government debt, my view would be that because it's not in the Constitution for the government to use public lands as collateral for borrowing, that after the U.S. government collapses and whoever's holding all those bad debts comes in and says, we now own this country, we, the American people, say, no, we don't. This is all odious debt. It was illegal under U.S. law. None of us agreed to sign over our public lands as collateral on out-of-control government borrowing, especially because it was committed with an act of fraud, the EPA. And because there is a provable act of fraud, we were told the land was being isolated from us for environmental reasons and to protect for the future generations, but it was being used for collateral. So if there's fraud involved, why should we pay the cost for that?
Completely agree.
All right, Stephen, got to take a break for commercials. Thank you very much. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsors.
The first. free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury, customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff, and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Fear and hate will rule them, said the demon to his role. In shackles we will bind them, to the terror they'll be shown. As mindless slaves they will not think, blind eyes they will not see. They'll jail themselves and call the bars Homeland Security.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Over in Egypt, mass demonstrations and protests all over the place against Israel's attacks against Syria, against renewed Israeli aggression against Al-Aqsa Mosque. IDF went in there and arrested a bunch of the top clergy there, and of course the ongoing aggressions against the Palestinians. So they're getting very upset over there what's going on. I think world opinion is decidedly turning against Israel. They don't know how to deal with that. All the propaganda tricks that they've used for the last 60 years just don't work anymore. Screaming anti-Semite doesn't shut people up any longer. Waving Hitler and Nazis at us doesn't work any longer. Because for most of us, it's all stuff that happened before we were even born. So it's getting a little bit tense. They're not able to adapt to the new reality. They're certainly not willing to perhaps change the way they get along with other nations, which would be the real workable solution. Stop running your country like it's still one of those Old Testament nomadic kingdoms that just gets by smiting everybody left and right. We're waiting for a miracle from the imaginary playmate in the sky here. Now, we have been talking about all these countries the U.S. is involved in militarily, and I was making a joke the other week about I've actually lost count of how many countries the United States has now invaded in terms of its project to force the world back onto Bretton Woods. And somebody else went out. They've been keeping a much better count over at digitaljournal.com. It turns out the count is right now the United States is involved militarily directly or in an advisory capacity in 74 countries. That's seven with a four after it. Apparently, the U.S. Central Command is militarily active in 20 countries in the Middle East. Troops on the ground, 20 countries in the Middle East. Yep, it's a world war. We're already there. We haven't had the big bang that will get ordinary people to look up from their America's Idol broadcast and say, oh, wow, it really is a world war. But we're there. U.S. military doctrine is when the U.S. is fighting a multi-front war on two continents, it's technically a world war. Coming out of World War II, that was the doctrine for the United States to always be prepared to fight a two-front war on two different continents in the world. And we're already there. 74 countries the U.S. is in, either direct military operations or in some kind of we're advising the government how to put down the people who don't like the fact that their government is buddy-buddy with the United States here. Now, turning over to Benghazi, the corporate media coverage of this is starting to tone down and pull back because it's starting to evolve into a scandal that isn't just going to be targeted on the Republicans or the Democrats, but is going to basically challenge the legitimacy of the entire government. Now, you need to remember, in Washington, D.C., there are two kinds of secrets. There are the little secrets, like who's having an affair with who obstructed justice, who was paying or accepting a bribe that can be used to tarnish and destroy a political enemy. But those lies, when they're exposed, they don't threaten the government itself. These are the secrets that are openly used in the media to wage war amongst each other, politician to politician, party to party. Then there are the big secrets, the ones that are so big, if they were ever let out, it would bring the whole system down. And very often, politicians will find their worst enemies helping to support a given cover-up because it would destroy everybody's little golden paycheck and golden parachute here. So we're getting this story here that largely went unreported. Missouri Congresswoman Ann Wagner is basically saying the order to stand down the military forces from supporting Benghazi came right from Barack Obama himself. And as more and more of these facts come out about CIA told to stand down, special forces told to stand down, very much this hands off, we'll take care of it. It supports my primary theory about what was going on in Benghazi, which was going into September of last year, the polls were showing Romney slightly ahead of Barack Obama. And Obama had not gotten a huge amount of approval gain over that guy they killed and claimed was Osama bin Laden, because it was pretty obvious it wasn't him. And so Obama needed a new incident, a new October surprise that he could use to make himself look really good and really presidential. Obama wanted a hostage situation that could build up in the media, and the media would make parallels between him and Jimmy Carter. Then he would send in the special forces to rescue the ambassador to prove he wasn't Jimmy Carter. He wasn't going to let it drag on like the Iranian hostage crisis. He was going to look really good and defeat Romney in a landslide. And I think what happened is when the unit that was playing at being the Al-Qaeda terrorists started shooting and making a ruckus around the Benghazi mission, all of the Libyans living around there heard the gunfire and just spontaneously rose up to join in. Remember how after Benghazi happened, there were spontaneous riots all across the Middle East? It just shows everybody was ready to go. Very little provocation. They're going to be in the streets. And I think that's what happened in Benghazi. And so this carefully staged, managed piece of theater to kidnap the ambassador turned into an uncontrolled riot. The ambassador was killed. Obama's public relations stunt turned into an epic fail. Now they're trying to cover it up. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Got the bombs, we'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up in it. One, whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bombs. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did. The tower.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I want to get over to the Boston bombing. Tamerlan has finally been laid to rest amidst all this furor about where he was going to be buried, which is, it's not like Tamerlan's really going to care. He's past caring where his remains are winding up. When I die, I want my body donated to science, because medical students can always use a good laugh. And now, of course, we're getting to the situation where Congress is now going to hold hearings on what went wrong in Boston. And I think the Congress is responding to the issues that have been raised here in the free media, that the fact that Boston actually happened. If you accept the official story at face value, and I don't, if you hadn't picked up on that yet, but if you accept the official story, then the fact that the Boston bombing actually happened proves the Department of Homeland Security doesn't work. TSA doesn't work. The FBI doesn't work. The CIA doesn't work. Boston represented an epic fail for this security industrial complex we have all had to endure going back over the last 10 years. The crotch groping, the luggage looting, the various ban and no-fly and suspect lists that are used to destroy the lives of innocent people. None of it worked. And if our government is really so short of money that they can't repair the roads, let's start firing all of these agencies who obviously cannot do what they claim to do in exchange for their taxpayer funding. Of course, we know all the Congress is going to do is say, well, you know, we need to do better, and we need to give them more money, and we need to pass more laws allowing them to look at everybody's life. In other words, the classic definition of insanity. What they've been doing up to now didn't work. Let's just do more of it. That's what they're going to try and sell you. And, of course, the next time there's another terror attack, whether real, which I doubt, or staged, which is most likely, Congress will harumph and harumph and say, well, we have to do even more. That's how they sell you the tyrannical state. Create an act of terror and say, oh, because of this, we must take away more of your rights and liberties. Most Americans have already hit the wall on that one. The polls that were being run right after Boston said the majority of Americans said, no, you can't have any more of our civil rights. We'll deal with the threat of terror. And remember, the threat of terror isn't really all that big. You're far more likely to be killed by your pharmacist or your doctor or by a drunk driver than you are by a terrorist. When you look at the disparity in death rates that we've been talking about related to the gun grab, about how few people are actually killed with assault rifles compared to those who die from mistakes made by their doctors. And people killed by terrorists are even smaller than those who are killed by assault rifles. They're trying to make it into a big issue to justify taking away your freedoms. You're more likely to win the publisher's clearinghouse than be killed by a terrorist. But it has come out now. Remember all those fusion centers, huge, expensive, costly buildings full of computers and people that were situated at key points all across the United States of America that were violating the Fourth Amendment, prying into all your information, and the idea was they're going to take all this data and they were going to correlate it and come up with something meaningful with which to prevent acts of terror. Obviously, Boston proves they didn't work as well. Now we're getting this story coming out of TechDirt.com that the FBI, which is claiming they received a warning about Tamerlan Tsarnaev from the Russians, didn't forward that information on to the fusion centers. And I'm sure the Congress will say, well, it was obviously a failure in communication and we need more communication, blah, 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 blah. What you need, if you really had a need for this kind of a system in the United States, you need to stop having it in so many different pieces fighting over their turf. That's part of the problem. That's part of where the confusion comes from. You've got all these little independent fusion centers and all these little independent agencies, and they're all fighting over information, and they're not willing to share because they have the advantage. They know this, and the other guy doesn't. It's politics. It's turf. And that's what they really think about, building their turf so they can ask for more money, so they can have more bonuses. It's all driven by the money and the funding. But it's just a reminder again, all of this stuff, FBI, fusion centers, it didn't work. If we accept the story of the Boston bombing at face value as the government is shoveling it at us, what it tells us is all of the security industrial complex doesn't work. Just like the Ohio kidnappings proved the police don't work. The police are kicking down doors from people who are hydroponically growing vegetables in their basement, and they ignore the man who's got a naked girl crawling around the backyard on a leash. It's amazing here. Now, interesting little story. In the newly revised National Defense Authorization Act, the 2013 version, buried in there and virtually ignored by the corporate media, was an amendment that officially allows the United States government to create and distribute propaganda within the borders of the United States of America, like they haven't been doing it all along. But the NDAA makes it official and legal, so when you point out and say the government and the corporate media are propagandizing the people, they can say, well, that's the law now. We're allowed to do that. And so now it's legal. We can't complain about it, but we can go on to point it out and say, yeah. And I don't think the government realizes, again, because politics is perception, I don't think they realize that in basically coding this into the law, they're basically announcing to the entire American people that anything coming out of the government and the corporate media can't be trusted. It is very likely propaganda. Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map. Arabs did 9/11. Al-Qaeda, blah, blah, blah. And they have been doing it all along. There's no question about it. Now they just want to make it legal so people can't embarrass them by taking them to court and say, you're lying to us. Because now they can say, yeah, that's our job. That's what the law says we're supposed to do. Remember that Fox synthetic bovine growth hormone lawsuit where the courts basically said there is no law requiring the corporate media to tell you the truth about anything. The owners of the corporate media can order their prostitutes to lie to you. And if the prostitutes refuse to lie to you, they can be fired legally for cause. And they don't want to lose their jobs. Next job down from corporate media is working over at the fast food restaurants. And McDonald's requires a 4-year degree for that. So most of these corporate media people aren't even going to qualify for that. And so, unfortunately, sadly, tragically, and history will bear this out, the prostitutes of the corporate media will lie to us if that's what they're told to do, because they want to keep their jobs and they want to have their little makeup and hairstylists and their time on the camera. Like that stunt that CNN pulled with these two reporters standing in the same parking lot, and they faked a satellite link up to make it look like they were separated apart and CNN's technical wizardry was saving the day. Now, interestingly enough, there's an interesting story over at johnfriend.net headlined, Are Conspiracy Theories Gaining Traction? And I wish he wouldn't use that phrase because it has become such a pejorative. Oh, it's a conspiracy theory. There are conspiracies. It's even in the Bible. I think it's, Elijah 20, 22, or 25. They talk about conspiracies to deceive. They are out there. But the whole point of this article is that more and more Americans are turning away from the official story about everything, and they are open to hearing alternative explanations for what's been going on with history. And it is a reminder, one of the best things you can do to support WhatReallyHappened.com and Republic Broadcasting, we know those Americans are out there who don't trust the official story any longer. They're asking questions. And we need you to lead them to us where their questions can be answered, where they can find out that the reason for all of these wars has nothing to do with Muslims hating us for our freedoms and everything to do with propping up the Federal Reserve note, returning the world to Bretton Woods, dollariferizing all of the world's resource-rich areas. People are responding to that. Trust in the official story is at an all-time low. And if the government is dealing, and the fact that the government is coming out now and saying we have to have the legal authority to propagandize the American people, it's basically an admission that they've lost control of the narrative here. Speaking of U.S. government, USDA choice bovine excrement, apparently President Obama is out there declaring the economy is poised for progress. It's the latest euphemism. Green shoots, light at the end of the tunnel, almost at a turnaround, poised for progress. What he's basically saying is it's continuing to go downhill, but have patience, don't revolt, don't rebel, don't kick us out of our cushy jobs. It is going to get better somewhere down the road. But they've been saying that for what, 10 years now? My goodness here. Over in Japan, they had a major, major upset. The Japanese government bonds plunged and hit what's called the limit down. Now, in order to prevent runaway stock market runs, many stock exchanges around the world, including those in New York and Chicago and obviously in Japan, if there is a drop that hits a certain limit, trading is halted to give everybody a chance to take a deep breath and calm down and maybe keep the panic under control. And Japanese government bonds hit that limit down. And apparently it was the worst day for the government bonds in the last 5 years. So it's all going down together at the same time. And you know why? Because every one of these nations in economic trouble, drowning in debt, are enslaved to a private central bank issuing the public currency as a loan at interest. Where, oh, where is the national leader with the courage to stand up and point the finger of blame where the finger of blame rightly should be pointed? We're going to go to the phones here. Rick in Florida. Aloha, Rick. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Show to the Hey, Mike, I'm a huge fan of the show to the point where I've taken your webpage and put it as my signature on my email to get the word out about you.
Well, thank you very much. That always helps.
I'm in the process of having one of my nephews is about to do a school paper on the Currency Act. And
yes.
I don't know where to research. And if you could you give me a brief synopsis of just prior to the Currency Act, what the colonies were like and what caused this to come about and what the gist of the result was? I guess maybe, so how would I explain it to a third party if because it's so, such an important event?
Well, you know, it's rather reassuring. We're seeing a lot of young people now start to go out and read about the Currency Act as the cause of the American Revolution. In fact, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, these two high schoolers did a video about it, a very nice video expose. But in short, before the American Revolution, Ben Franklin was the colonists' ambassador to Great Britain. And when he was over there talking with the British court, he got to see the horrible poverty that was gripping England at the time as a result of the Bank of England. Massive unemployment, massive hunger, if you've ever read the works of Charles Dickens, or if you study what the East End was like about the time of Jack the Ripper, that was kind of what was going on. And the people in the court were asking Ben Franklin what the colonies were doing about their unemployed and they're hungry and homeless. And Ben Franklin says, "We don't have any." And they go, "What?" He says, "Well, you know, we're printing our own money. The colonial governments are printing our own money. We always make sure there's enough money flowing through commerce for everybody to have a job and everybody to be prosperous." And when the Bank of England got wind of that, they went into a panic because the last thing they needed was to see, you know, the American colonies with state-issued value-based currency and the people prospering, because it was going to give the British people bad ideas about maybe wanting to do exactly the same thing. So they lobbied King George III to pass the Currency Act, which ordered everybody in the colonies to conduct their business only using banknotes borrowed at interest from the Bank of England. And within the space of just a couple of years, the colonies were plunged into exactly the same poverty and privation and joblessness and hunger that England itself was involved with. And that was what really fueled the anger for the American Revolution. If you go back and you read the writings of Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, and they say right in there, it was the Currency Act that led to the American Revolution. So we fought a revolution to break free of private central banking. We set up the U.S. Treasury, which created all the currency, spent it into circulation to buy what the government needed. The money, the currency flowed through circulation, powering commerce without accruing interest to a private bank, and then was taxed back at the same amount to close the cycle and balance the books. And it worked very well, and that's why the United States was this economic and industrial powerhouse during its early years. Because nations with private central banks cannot compete with nations that are free from private central banks. So the private central bankers, having lost the revolution, they came in and tried to set up a private central bank with their agent in place, Alexander Hamilton. And they created the first bank of the United States. It had a 20-year charter. And at the end of that 20 years, the United States was back into that same banker-imposed hunger, poverty, starvation, massive joblessness. And the bankers were getting rich off of all of this. So Congress voted not to renew the charter for the first bank of the United States. This was in 1811. And the Rothschilds literally came in and threatened the United States Congress, "If you do not renew our banking charter, we will arrange a war for you." And Congress said no. And so the Rothschild Bank of England went to the British Crown and said, "If you want to recolonize the Americas, we'll loan you the money to do it at very, very low interest rates." Britain said, "Yeah, great idea." And the next thing you know, you got the War of 1812. Now, the U.S. won the War of 1812, but it put the United States into such dire economic straits, they were forced to charter a new central bank, which was called the Second Bank of the United States, also with a 20-year charter. And at the end of that 20 years, once again, the American people were suffering hunger, joblessness, starvation, and the bankers were getting insanely rich. And Andrew Jackson made it the flagship, if you will, of his second term in office to shut down the bank. And he succeeded in doing so, whereupon there was an immediate attempt to assassinate him. And so basically that's what the Currency Act was. What we're looking at is all of history is a war between banking systems, between these predatory, privately owned banks who want to take the public currency away from being a public utility and turn it into just another profit-making scheme for the bankers. And it is a failed system because inevitably these private central banks create more debt than money to pay the debt, and everybody gets trapped in the debt. You can't have private central banking without it resulting in homelessness, joblessness, and hunger. It's impossible because there isn't enough money out there to pay all the debt. And that's really what it comes down to. All right, we got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
What will you do without freedom? That's the question the American Freedom Party is asking as a high-tech surveillance state continues to be constructed in the one-time land of liberty. Through methodical gradualism over many years, the United States has been hollowed out economically and morally. The Republican Party is little more than a partner in crime to the open globalism and cultural Marxism of the Democrats. Both parties support the offshoring of American industry and jobs, open borders, endless wars of aggression all over the world, and slavish obedience to Israel and to the banksters and gangsters of Wall Street. The American Freedom Party is guided by the sole principle of supporting what's good for America and Americans. The American Freedom Party rejects the archaic liberal conservative paradigm in favor of an outspoken advocacy of freedom and liberty that rings true to America's traditional values and way of life. The hour is late, but America can yet survive and begin to thrive again if enough Americans act to regain their freedom. The alternative is too bleak to contemplate. Learn more about the American Freedom Party by going to AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us. That's AmericanFreedomPartyInfo.us.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Politicians and preachers once sometimes told the truth. We didn't throw war's first stone and sacrifice our finest youth. With no video games or cell phones, a house felt like a home. Children fought and played together and stick upon a computer alone. MacDonald had a farm, then he opened a burger joint.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones. Glenn in Philadelphia, thank you for waiting. What's on your mind?
Mike, you were talking about the fusion centers. One of the reasons they're having trouble with coordinating things, they tried to save money when they deployed by making them cold fusion centers. And it's just not working for some reason.
I thought you were going to tell me that they were using Vista or Windows 8, which is equally destructive.
Oh, no. I don't know how you can say that. Well, I watch NCIS, Mike, and I watch James Bond movies, and I see them sliding around those little the screens, like sheets of paper and everything. They can watch anybody, anytime, you know, at any given moment. They know everything. They're practically omniscient, you know. I mean, when I'm in the shower, I'm afraid to wash my hair because I'm afraid I might open my eyes and find someone standing there.
Well, it all depends on how hot she is, whether that's a problem or not.
It's like I always feel like somebody's watching me, you know. But there's a song like that, you know.
Let me tell you where I think all of this stuff is going. And again, Boston, if you accept the official story, proves none of this stuff is really working. I think the idea is they're out there trying to claim that they're scanning all your emails and listening to all your phone calls and reading all of your computer equipment. It's a gigantic bluff to scare you into staying silent, to keep you from talking with each other, to keep you dependent on the corporate media for your daily dose of what you are supposed to be thinking today. And it is a gigantic bluff, because even if they are in fact storing and monitoring all of your Facebook and MySpace, if they're even still in business, all of your text messages and emails and phone calls, it's a huge amount of data, much of it unreliable. People lie on Facebook, especially if they're trying to find somebody to go on a date with. So it's an unreliable source. And while the acquisition of this data from 330 million Americans every single day is a linearly additive, the correlation between these data points is what's called an unlimited expansion. There is simply too much data to try and sift through and get anything meaningful, especially with so much of this data erroneous, misattributed, or computer errors and software errors. And like I said, on social media, people like to brag. They're saying things that aren't exactly 100% accurate. And that's why this whole thing was just a complete joke from the beginning. And again, if you accept the official story of Boston, obviously none of it worked. They're all trying to claim, they knew it was coming, but yet they still let it happen.
Well, when the omniscient thing will be a lot more believable when SWAT teams start going to the right addresses more often.
That would be a good place to start,
oops,
you know.
Domino's has a better average at the moment. But
that's a good one.
But one other thing I wanted to point out about, you talk about people being unaware of what's going on militarily in the World War and stuff. I think one of the most successful military policies in decades since I was a kid was the implementation of the all-volunteer force. The elimination of the draft got people to not care about it because their kid wasn't likely to be drafted. So.
Okay, we got to take a break for station identification. Thank you for the call. Back with more calls after these few words.